Do you sense that? When you look at the world around you and it doesn't seem quite right. You feel the struggle that exists, caught in the tension of a paradox, trying to understand the contradictions surrounding you. The paradoxical teachings of Jesus feel impossible. But upon closer inspection, will we find a deeper truth?
Well, we are so excited about this brand new sermon series that we begin today. But first, I want to welcome everybody here in this room and in our Woodside room and our Chanhassen campus, and also say hi to all of our friends over at Minnetonka and to everybody who's online with us, wherever you might be. Just glad that we could be together on this beautiful Labor Day weekend. Take out your teaching notes if that would be helpful for you. They're in your program that you received when you walked in the door. Jesus' words from Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34 have been important for us this year. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This kingdom statement has grounded us in our messages and our sermon series all year long. We've worked on memorizing this passage, but more importantly, we've all given effort and prayer to what it looks like to live further into its meaning. Along the way, we're asking God to give us a vision about what it means to be kingdom of God people. And that is why this series called Paradox is so important for us. Because it's actually in the paradoxes found in the journey of faith that life in the kingdom of God becomes more clear. A paradox, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is something that is made up of two opposite things and seems impossible, but it is actually true or possible. Many of the key teachings of Jesus on the spiritual life are expressed in a paradox. And as these teachings get read, sometimes they may seem a bit contradictory. So for those who follow Jesus, these paradoxes can be difficult to reconcile. And for those who don't yet believe, they can be stumbling blocks to faith in Christ. It's things like, in your weakness, you are strong. It's things like, to be first, you must be last. There's absolute joy in your worst suffering. And then we walk by faith and not by sight. Have you ever put a pencil in a glass of water and taken a step back to look at it? It's like this image that's on the screen. It may appear disjointed at first, but what we know beyond what we see with our own eyes is that the pencil is still actually whole. Jesus' teachings that we explore is like this. Because during this series, we'll find that they're paradoxical for us because they go beyond our normal ways of thinking and seeing. The teachings he gives goes beyond human logic into a different place, into eternal wisdom. And it's in the tension that begins, or it's in the tension that exists between our human logic and the eternal wisdom that comes from God that we have to meet with God in the in-between to be able to find the way of the kingdom. And God will be faithful to us, we believe, throughout this series and help us to be awakened to brand new realities in him, to discover more. Consider Proverbs 1, 5 through 6. The wise will pay attention to these words and will grow in learning, and the discerning will receive divine guidance. And they will be able to interpret the meaning of a proverb and a puzzle, the twists and the turns in the words of the wise and the riddles. Simply put, as we wrestle through these things, God is going to be faithful, I think, to every one of us as we lean in with him to learn more about what it looks like to be kingdom of God people in the right here and in the right now. So today, the message is called Labor to Rest. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but every time I read those words, I just immediately feel this sense of comfort that points me back to a bigger, reality that God is holding this all together and he has me in mind. We can be comforted, and it's one that we also need to revisit a lot. But when it comes to being paradoxical, we see a paradox here on two different playing fields. And the first is this. The message that we hear in paradox is that if you are tired, weary, or burdened, the solution is to put what's called a yoke upon you and then to carry another burden, right? So it seems to kind of be flipped a little bit. But then on the second level, Jesus says his yoke, and we'll get into what that means in a little bit, his yoke is actually easy, and the burden that he invites us to carry is actually light. Now, how could these two things fit together and be true? Well, in the kingdom of God, they do. And the starting place to discovering about how they fit together is to remember and see and acknowledge the words that Jesus says about himself. Because we can never underestimate the power of a clear vision of who Jesus says that he is. So don't miss the gift of Jesus telling us more about his character in this time. And the reason why is because I think all of us have a lot of preconceived notions that we're aware of, or maybe even we're unaware of, about who we believe that God is. Quick old theological joke. In the beginning, God created human beings. In his image and in his likeness, he created us. And ever since then, we have been returning the favor. I know it takes everybody just a little bit to have it snap in. The point is this. When we go through life, it's only normal, sometimes in the hard stuff especially, to be prone to make assumptions about God's character because of what we walk through when we don't give God an opportunity to speak for himself. And so, for example, we might walk through something very hard and we might be prone to blame God and believe that he's vindictive. And if we don't listen to God's voice first, we can get kind of twisted up. So that's why the starting place is to receive who Jesus is. Because when we know who he is, we cannot help but be moved toward him. These characteristics are very attractive. Knowing somebody's character produces a lot for our relationship with that person. And at the very top is trust. And more than anything else today, know that Jesus is first gentle. Did you hear him say that? Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle. Sometimes it's helpful to compare the opposite meaning of words in order to explore what the words mean. So the opposite of gentle is harsh, merciless, unkind. And in that day, it was not uncommon for God to be viewed that way, as almost a distant deity that just wants you to behave or else. You ever struggle with that idea? Gentleness is a big deal, a big value in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says it himself in Matthew 5, verse 5. He said, "Blessed are the meek and the gentle, for they will inherit the earth." And gentleness draws us, and the gentleness of Jesus changes us. And as you look throughout the New Testament, later on in 2 Corinthians, Paul appeals to the gentleness of Jesus to motivate a church that needed to be changed to actually receive God's work in their lives. Here's what he wrote. "By the meekness and gentleness of Jesus, I appeal to you." We don't have time to discuss all the ways that they needed to make some changes. But Paul started by saying this, "By the meekness and gentleness of Jesus, I appeal to you." Now here's how we need to enter into this together. Don't miss this. His gentleness is a game changer. Second, Jesus is humble. Did you hear him say that? He says, "Learn from me, for I am humble at heart." Now, the opposite of humble is many things. It's arrogant, rude, egotistical, many other components. And when you hear those words, I would imagine that you make the same assumption that I have, that those are characteristics that don't draw us to anybody. Because when humility is in the room, it wins every single time. Because humility is another attribute that draws us toward people. And Jesus' humility went really far. Listen to Philippians 2, verses 7 through 8. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It was Jesus' humility that informed his obedience to die on our behalf. It's important to recognize that today. Jesus is gentle, and Jesus, for you and for me, is humble at heart. So for just a moment, if I can ask you to stop longer than you're prone to, and consider that, maybe just a few seconds longer than is normal. Maybe that could soak into your heart and reframe a little bit of how you view our God. Because for your life as it is right now, you have a God that is humble, and you have a God that is gentle, and that's how he relates to you. But there's another dimension in what we find in Jesus here. There are things that he does for us that we cannot do ourselves, and that is actually the point of life in Jesus. Through our trust in Jesus, God enables us to do things that we can't do apart from him. So what does Jesus do? First, he gives. And what he gives is rest to the weary. Did you hear him say these words? To all who are weary and burdened. Anybody qualify for that? To all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Anybody in need of rest right now? When our daughter was born, there was a disorientation of sleep deprivation that I cannot adequately describe with words. The first full day, actually, let me stop right there and just recognize first and foremost, I did not carry her for 9 months, and I did not give birth. I was a spectator in that sport, so I need to acknowledge that and say my wife had way more reason to be tired, but I was still a little tired too. So the first full day when everybody got home, my son was napping, and I myself gave in to a nap, which is really abnormal for me because I don't wake up well. And when my son woke up, he woke up with 100 miles per hour of full joy. And then so did everybody else. And I woke up, well, different. I couldn't function. And the only words that came out of my mouth were, buddy, just give me a second. I can't think. It feels like I can't even see. I need coffee. And so he heard that, took off running down the hallway, yelling, Mommy, Dad needs coffee. He can't see. The point is this. When we are tired, there's something about being tired that makes every fiber of our being feel it. And we need a rest that heals, that's deeper than just a rest that means to catch up on sleep. Because our souls can get weary and will get weary and do get weary as we experience life, especially the difficult parts of life. That might result in uncertainty, fear, despair, and isolation, maybe, to name a few. But there's a rest in Jesus Christ that is characterized by a state of being that is different than that. And it's a rest that is available to every single one of us. And it's a rest because of Jesus in our lives that is entirely possible to live in every day. And it sounds a little weird, but to get better at living in it every single day by God's work in our lives. It's described as this. It's the absence of uncertainty. It's the absence of fear. Perfect love casts out all of our fear. Despair. To the weary, God gives rest through Jesus Christ. But yet some of us may be weary because of a different reason. Some of us might be weary because we have equated the journey of Christian faith as simply following a set of religious rules, and for far too long, the journey with Jesus has for some of us become about joyless rule following, as if somehow in our rule following, we would win God's favor. And we've lost sight of the fact that we live and be and move and work from an identity, not for an identity in Jesus. The result of doing that in a way that it's about religious rules is shame and lack of peace and heart of mind, and Jesus wants to give you something different, if that's your place today. A settled peace of mind and peace of heart. To the burdened, in this way, Jesus gives rest too. Jesus also partners. He partners with us. We do not go about this life alone. So when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, I think it's important to know that the word easy can be translated as well-fitting. My yoke is well-fitting for you. It's not something that is beyond us because of Jesus' presence in our lives, and my burden is light. And actually, what Jesus has us do here is not a burden, because Jesus has shown us the way to live life in him, and then he empowers us by the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do it in ways that we're not capable of on our own. You know, oftentimes in our day and age and in our region, we don't necessarily see a lot of the agricultural metaphors that Jesus used because we have tractors. But when it comes to the word yoke, I had that in my mind when I went with a small group to Malawi, Africa, and I have a picture I want to show you. This was taken in Malawi as we work with World Relief. We've been there for about 12 years. And I saw these carts being pulled by oxen in this beautiful country, and they all had that yoke, that bar, that wooden thing that they put on the shoulders of these animals in order to bear that burden. Now, just look at that picture for a second and recognize something that I have been prone to overlook. There's two animals in there, not one. And in a way that I think we can apply, when Jesus asks us to take his yoke upon us, we don't do that alone. God is with us. His yoke are his ways of living. And the burden that comes from carrying that is light, because it's the best way for us, and it's the way that Jesus partners to live. You are yoked with him in your everyday life. With Jesus, we have all that we need to live this life in a way that we cannot do on our own. Consider 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. He's given us all that we need, if we can just look to him. Anybody else prone to do this sometimes on your own, though? Or try to? I do often. And for me, sometimes it can be incredibly helpful to observe normal, everyday examples from life of what it looks like to partner with Jesus in this yoke. So a couple weeks ago, I mowed a lawn that was not my own with a lawnmower that was not mine. Now, there may be some here listening that agree with this statement. Sometimes mowing is a mini spiritual retreat for me. Got some music in my earbuds, accomplishing something. And every time I get a chance to mow, I'll likely take it. But this was not my mower again, so I looked at it and saw this metal bar, and above the metal bar was a lever. So using my intuition, I took that top lever and pulled it down, and then, as many of us do, contorted my body very awkwardly to grab that rope chain and pull it, and it fired right up. So I'm like, okay, we're in business. So I started to mow this lawn that had a bunch of hills in it. I thought, man, this is really hard. This lawnmower is really, really heavy. I can't believe this. And I thought to myself, I think even out loud, I thought this thing was self-propelled. You may know where I'm headed with this. So as I was mowing, about 3/4 of the way into mowing this lawn, my hand bumped into a different lever that I didn't know was there the whole time. And I thought, that's curious. So I pulled the lever up and the mower shot forward, self-propelled. And I thought, this is going to be a different mowing experience the rest of the way. It didn't have to be that hard if I just knew which lever to pull. And I kept thinking about this a little bit more, and there's other metaphors, like in golf. Now, I know everybody's not a golfer here, but if you live in this area, in 3 weeks, you're going to be a golfer. Because the Ryder Cup's coming. It's going to be awesome. But I golf every once in a while, and every time that I hold a golf club in my hands, my first normal intuition is to take this golf club and with every bit of every muscle, of every bit of energy, to swing as hard and as fast as I can, because that would send the ball. Now, the first lesson that I learned in golf is that actually that's counterproductive. And my father said this to me. He said, stop trying to kill the ball and just let the club do the work. Now, when I get up and address a ball, sometimes I still get into that rut of thinking that if I just swing harder, it'll go farther, and it never goes well that way, by the way, for me or anybody else on the golf course. But when I stop and I think, okay, let me remember, and I work that technique, and I remember, okay, I'm just to let the club do the work, it usually goes better. Or in water skiing, ever try to learn how to water ski? If you've not yet, you're going to experience two things. You'll get behind the boat and you'll fear a moment of terror because you're like, that boat's going to go fast and so am I. But then the other thing that you're going to experience is everybody's your coach. So however many people are in the boat, whoever's within earshot, they've all got an opinion about how you can water ski, right? And you're going to get a lot of input. But I think the most helpful piece of input that I received as I learned how to do that was, don't try to pull yourself up. Let the boat do the work, right? So here's the point. It's not about our effort. It's about our dependence. It's not about our effort. It's about our dependence. Now, that's paradoxical in and of itself because we're wired and we're taught if you work harder, it will work for you. But in the life of Jesus, it's not about our effort. It's about our dependence on him. Now, Jesus will call us to do things, but it's never outside of his power and his strength that he gives to us. The point is, from the moment that we wake up to the moment that we go to sleep, remembering that our friend Jesus goes with us changes absolutely everything. He helps us in our work. He helps us in our relationships. He helps us in our emotional, in our thought life. And doing it with him gives us a whole new way that is to be explored. Next, he teaches. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, it's important to know that Jesus was addressing an audience that was familiar with a way that was described by religious behavior and performance. Because later on in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 4, he says, they, the scribes and Pharisees and other religious leaders and teachers, tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Jesus lived a different way. Jesus taught a different way, and in a very similar fashion, Jesus teaches you and I to live this way and then enables us to do it. And then in so doing, we get to find a way that's also restful, that's very active in our rest. Same thing at both times. You know, I love this passage. Like I said at the beginning, every time I read it, there's a sense of comfort that I get. Because I get burdened. At times, I lose sight of my freedom and lightness that Jesus calls me into. And then at times, I lose sight that God's love and posture towards me does not fluctuate based on my spiritual temperature. Anybody else out there with me? And remembering what Jesus calls us into is really important. However, we can't just leave Jesus' words at comforting sentiment. These are things that are to be explored. Dallas Willard gives us a helpful challenge when he says, many followers of Christ consider this to be more an expression of hope or even a wish than a statement about the substance of their lives. This is the teaching of Jesus that we have to do our best to live into every day through our dependence. And my prayerful intention is that you and I go out and do this even more so this next week. These are promises that we're called to think about often, pray about deeply, and live in daily so that it becomes the fabric of our being. So last question, how do we do this? But more importantly, what does Jesus call us into? That's the best question. The first thing that he calls us into is just simply to receive his invitation. Just receive his invitation. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. And what's his invitation? Come to me. That's the only directive that he gives. Just come to me. And it's almost like there's a sense of come to me and we'll figure it out together. This is an invitation that's given to anybody who's weary and heavy laden. And if that's you, you are to come today with your burdens, not without them. With your burdens, not without them. And let's acknowledge some of us have very deep burdens, the kinds of burdens that maybe when you wake up in the morning, they are a crushing weight upon you that you think about throughout the day. And when you carry that kind of load, it's not coming to Jesus one heroic time. It's coming to Jesus 1,500 small and unheroic times, so that he can carry that with you. Every time you feel an anxious wave, an overwhelming thought, and maybe even despair, each and every experience in our burdens is a prompting to come, because small things like this make a huge transformational difference. Come to Jesus. Some of us can't shake the weight of shame. We wrestle with what seems like an inability to get it right and behave right. Often that's grounded in a perception that first the journey of Jesus is about achieving this set of religious performance standards. And Jesus addresses that directly. He says, no, my way is free. It's light. It's easy because you're with me on it. And it's well fitting for you. And the result is not shame. It's not guilt. It's not things that you can't shake. The result is complete and full freedom in Jesus. Amen. So what I want to do this week is give you a few scripture passages to meditate on based on these invitations of Jesus. And you might pick one, you might pick all three. Let God guide you in that. And so in Jesus' invitation, come to me. Here's what I want to invite you to meditate on. Matthew 11:28. Write that down. It's in your notes already. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Think about that. Pray about that. Invite God to help you with that. Next invitation is to rest actively in Jesus. That's a specific word that we've chosen, actively. This is an active rest. It's not an invitation to a life of ease in Christ. Rather, it's a life that is delivered from the artificial burdens of human religion and the weight of external pressure, so that we know that someone else is bearing that weight with us. Sometimes we get a little mixed up. We think that if we behave right, we'll earn God's approval. But we already have what we need in Jesus. He already looks at us when we're in Christ and says, no, you're my beloved. And we work from that. And resting in Jesus in that is really critical. And we can never underestimate the power of a clear vision of who Jesus said that he is. And correspondingly, we can never underestimate the power of a clear vision of who we are in him. In other words, answering the question, who am I and whose am I? When you know that this Jesus is gentle and humble and many other things, and when you know that you are the beloved child of the Most High God and nothing can change that, that makes all the difference. We'll have rest. So the next scripture passage to meditate on that corresponds with resting is Romans 8:38-39. You might just want to write down Romans 8:38-39. Here's what that says. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about that if you need rest. And the last invitation is to live. Out of all that, it's to live. Here's a statement that I'd like you to think about. Maybe write it down if it's helpful for you. Jesus' invitation is this: to live your life as it is every day with Jesus the way that he would have you do it together. Let me say that one more time. Jesus' invitation to live is to live your life the way that it is with Jesus the way that he would have you live it together with him. You know, sometimes I fear, because of our human temptation to compartmentalize our lives, this is a conversation or the promptings from God that maybe we've received will be left inside of this building or will be left at the end of Sunday. I'm human. I compartmentalize. And I'm going to venture to guess that you do as well. In other words, sometimes our Sunday does not flood into our Monday through Friday and our Saturday. That's not God's intention, because Jesus doesn't compartmentalize. He's in everything. He's with all of us in every single moment of our lives. And our actual life is of utmost importance to God, and his call is to live it with him. Dallas Willard again: the secret of the easy yoke, then, is to learn from Christ how to live our total lives, how to invest all our time and our energies of mind and body as he did. And let me say this really clearly. This is completely possible for all of us. It's completely possible for all of us. But for some of us, we hear this and we think that in and of itself is a paradox. Wait, you want that? That means everything? And that tension's okay, but the answer is yes. It's every part of our lives. It's our families. For us who are parents, how you discipline, guide, and shape your kids with God's help and who you become in the process is a with God activity. For those of you who are children of any age, under 18 or above that, how we relate to our parents and how we relate to our family members is a with God activity that we can do with Him. Wherever your work takes you this week in the 70% of your waking hours, that is a with God activity, whatever it may be. So in your work, it could be a big idea that you're working on. Do that with Jesus. In your work, it could be a difficult conversation that you need to have this week. Do that with Jesus, believing that He's the space in between that you communicate. It could be a project, a new endeavor. Maybe some of us are starting a new job. For you who are students, God is very interested in your with God studenthood. So go into this week and know that you do everything that you do in your work with Him. The extra stuff, our volunteering, our coaching, our tutoring, wherever we may be, the relationships that we have in our neighborhood with the people whom God loves deeply, do that with Jesus. And then for those of us who are walking through really difficult things that are going to face us this week, do that with Jesus. Do that with Him. Ask Him to shoulder the load with you and for you as many times as you need to. Because as you lean into that, He'll give you what you need. One more scripture passage to meditate on in this to live invitation is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Now, in just about every message that I've given or thought about lately, I just feel this similar prompting developing. And this is the prompting. If we're going to live this life to the best of our ability to be with God in everything that we do, we first need God's help. That's important to recognize. But the other thing that we need is people to link arms with to do it together. People whom we can be in a circle with to celebrate it when it goes well for us and when we get it right. People who we can link arms and be in a circle with to be with us when we may get it wrong, to acknowledge it, and then to be encouraged to go out and try it again. And people who will also with Jesus bear the burdens that we have. And in a church like Westwood, I don't know of a better way than to make that happen for those of us who are looking for that than in small groups. And so this fall, we have a huge effort to help more of us find these friends and a circle of them at Westwood. And earlier this year, I had an experience that has become a vision for how we want to invite you to consider stepping toward a small group this fall if you don't have one. And we put together a little video to introduce the topic to you. So take a look at the video. When I was a kid, I'd ride my bike around the neighborhood. I remember sometimes seeing neighbors' driveways filled up with cars and their houses filled up with people. And I'd wonder who they were and why they were gathering together. And every time I saw that, there was something in me that was curious about what was going on inside. Earlier this spring, I had a similar experience as I drove through my neighborhood. I passed a friend's house who happens to be a member of Westwood and noticed their driveway. It was full of cars. The lights were on, and there was an inviting warmth coming from the home. I wondered what was going on there when I remembered who those cars belonged to that filled up that driveway. It was their Westwood small group. My heart soared in that moment, realizing what this group was doing as they gathered together. All over our community, like the home I saw this spring, there are Westwood groups that are filling up driveways. They represent college students and retirees, men's and women's groups, parents of young families, and empty nesters. Together, these 100 plus groups are growing in life and faith. At Westwood, we're seeking to fill up more driveways than ever before by launching new small groups. And so this begs the question, do you have a full driveway?
represented by a group of people in your life that no matter where you're at in faith, you're growing in friendship with them, and as a result, you're growing in Christ. This is God's vision for our lives, and so if you don't have a group, I want to encourage you like never before, take a step toward one now. Twice per year, we host an event called Group Connect. It is a fun, no-pressure environment to help you meet new friends and begin as a small group together that will meet for the few months that follow. And then after that, you as a group decide where to take it from there. You can find more information on our website according to the campus that you attend. So come and join us, fill up your driveway, and begin a new journey with a group of friends to grow in life and faith together.
We're really excited about this fall and the potential that new groups have for all of us in this journey to live this out. There's nothing like the encouragement of having a circle of friends as we try to live in this easy yoke. Carrying the burden that Jesus promised us is light. And if you don't have a small group or a circle of friends that you meet with to do that together, just want to encourage you to take a step towards that this fall. And yes, it does involve some risk, but I can just about promise that that risk will be worth it. Now, Group Connect, that event that I mentioned, is happening at both of our campuses here in Chanhassen on October 8th and at Minnetonka on October 9th. You can find out more information on our website and register for the event. Registrations are already coming in, and we're very, very excited about it. So if you feel a prompting today, do it. Don't wait. Register. We'll match you up with a good group of people to journey with. Now, as we close our message today, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand. And as you stand, I'm also going to invite you, if you're comfortable, to extend your hands open. This is our vision at Westwood, to receive from God all that he wants to give to us, believing that he wants to give us a lot. And then we'll go give away once we leave this room. And as I do so, I'm going to read this passage through the paraphrase called The Message. And I just want to invite you to let it soak over you again and let God's voice speak to you and prompt you in your heart. And then I'll pray, and then we'll sing together, and then we'll go about this beautiful week that we have. Would you stand with me? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. God, we want that. We really want that. And so in each of our lives, in the way that only you can, I pray that you would make that more true of us than it was before we came in today and heard this word. And we depend on you. We want to follow after you. So bear our burdens. Give us your easy yoke and show us how to do that. We receive this promise and we receive you, Jesus. And it's in your name.